And we want to encourage our children, you know. Amen. We don't want to discourage them. And if they want to do something in the service of the Lord, we want them to do it, you know. So I had one other announcement I wanted to make. You know, on Mother's Day, we did not have an in-house service. We had a drive-in service. And it was not convenient for us to recognize and honor our mothers at that time. And so on the 21st, it'll be Father's Day. So I'm going to honor the mothers and the fathers both on Father's Day. And I've got it figured out to where we can maintain our social distancing. So I'd like for all the mothers and fathers to be here on Father's Day. And we're looking forward to that. Appreciate the moms and dads that worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and that bring their children to Sunday school and church where they can hear the Word of God. It's very important. It was important in the nation of Israel, and it's still important today in the church of the living God. Again, I do desire an interest in your prayers. I'm taking a scripture lesson from the 27th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to read verses 50 through 56. If you have your Bible, you'd care to join me, I would invite you to do so. Matthew 27 and verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after the resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. Among them was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James, and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's children. Now that's my lesson for today. And I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. I want to use as my subject this question. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Now, I made this statement here once before, I think, maybe before you called me back for pastor this last time. So many of you have heard it and some of you have not. But Rocky Mound Missionary Baptist Church called me to assist Brother Stephen Skinner in a revival down there. And on the first night of the revival, he introduced me as being a Jesus preacher. And I consider that to be one of the highest compliments that I've ever received, to be a Jesus preacher. That's my desire. That's what I want to do. I want to hold up Jesus. The Lord Jesus is a very special person, and I want to talk to you about him some today. I've been trying to preach for a long time, and I'm not trying to brag or anything like that. But you know, there was a songwriter who said a long time ago, I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I want you to pray for me today. I need your prayers. I want to start out with talking about some facts from secular history concerning Jesus. You know, there's a lot of people in the world today that don't believe what the Bible has to say about Jesus. There are those who claim to be atheists and those who claim to be agnostics, you know, and there are those who just deny that the Bible is the Word of God, and they say that it cannot be proven, but I would say it cannot be disproved. Amen. It cannot be disproved. And so I looked up some facts from secular history concerning Jesus. First of all, it says that there was a man that lived in the first century A.D. His name was Jesus. And it says that he was a Jewish preacher. Well, Jesus was a Jew, and Jesus was a preacher. And it said that he founded what we know as Christianity. And he did. Jesus, he preached his own gospel. And the Bible said that his followers, his disciples, were called Christians first at Antioch. So he did found what we know as Christianity. It said that he was born in Bethlehem and that he grew up in Nazareth, Galilee. Said that his mother was, her name was Mary, and Joseph was believed to have been his father. He was born about 4 B.C. and he lived until sometime between 30 and 33 A.D. He was born during the occupation of the Roman Empire. He was arrested by the Jewish authorities. And then he was delivered to the Romans. And the Romans crucified him by the order of Pilate. Now, those are facts from secular history. And the Bible agrees with them. And yet, people say, I don't believe the Bible. You know, I don't believe what the Bible has to say about Jesus. But it is an established fact. There was a man named Jesus who lived. And he was crucified on the cross. And so I just wanted to share those things with you. Now, I know that you know them. But there may be people listening to me today that did not know that. And so I want to talk to you now for a little bit about Jesus. I said the Bible agrees with those things, but the Bible gives many more details concerning the Lord Jesus Christ than what secular history does. The Bible fills in the places that are left empty by secular history. You know, there was a lot of controversy over Jesus. There was, even while he was living here in the world, there was a lot of controversy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people said he was a good man. Other people said he was a bad man. But Jesus said he was the Son of God. And so I want you to think about that. We read in the Bible, in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, about the time when Jesus was arrested. You know, he had he knew that his time was drawing near, and he began to be greatly burdened. His soul was heavy, and so he went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. The disciples went with him, and he told them, "You tarry here, and you watch and pray, and I'm going over yonder and pray." And during that time, the burden was so heavy upon him that he agonized in prayer. And the Bible said that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Was so intense in his prayer. And his prayer was this: "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He knew exactly what was before him. He knew that he was going to be arrested. He knew he was going to be crucified. And he knew why these things were going to take place. So he prayed, "Lord, if there's any other way." And the answer came back. It's not written in the words of the Bible, but I really believe that the answer came back, "Son, there is no other way." Because there was no other way. And there is no other way for people to be saved from their sins. It took the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shedding of His blood. The Bible said, "You're not redeemed from your sins with corruptible things like silver and gold." You can't go talk to a man and give him some money and get your sins forgiven. It's just impossible to do. You're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. He paid the ransom for our salvation. And so Jesus prayed. And after he had prayed, Judas came leading a band of people, and he walked up and he kissed Jesus on the cheek. And that was a signal to the religious leaders of that day, that the man that I kiss will be the one that you're seeking for. And they had been seeking for a long time to take his life. They had, conspired against him. They had tried to catch him many times in his words. They intended one time to throw him off over a bluff or a cliff, and he escaped out of the away from them. Judas said, and he had made a deal, "I'll give you. If you'll give me 30 pieces of silver, I'll deliver him into your hands." And so they gave him the money. And he delivered Jesus into their hands. They took Jesus down to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest. He was the high priest in Jerusalem at that time. And they began to try to find somebody that would testify against Jesus. And they could find no one that would. And finally, they got two men that would perjure themselves. And they told lies on Jesus. Excuse me. They told lies on Jesus. And this is what the Bible said. "And the high priest arose," this is Caiaphas, and said to Jesus, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But Jesus held his peace. And it says, "The high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God." Now, if I understand correctly, that would be the same thing as putting a man under oath. You know, when you go into court, they swear you in. I swear that I will tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And so help me God. So that was the same thing as Jesus being sworn in before the religious leaders. Now the Bible has told us back here, now the chief priest and the elders and all of the council, the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin court, all of them were present there that night when Jesus was brought into the high priest's house. And they swore him in, so to speak. And this is what the high priest said, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tellest us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus, he held his peace. And then he said, Jesus said unto them, "Thou hast said, you're accusing me of being, saying that I'm the Son of God. But you have, you've denied it." And so he said, "Nevertheless, in spite of all of that, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Jesus didn't deny that he was the Son of God, but he didn't come right out and say it at that point, although he had. He said, "You're going to find out one of these days who Jesus is, because one of these days you're going to see him, the Son of Man, coming or sitting on the right hand of power." And he said, "And coming in the clouds of heaven." Now that's what it says in the book of the Revelations in chapter 1 and verse 5. It says that he will come in the like manner that you have seen him go away. He's coming in the clouds. And the Bible said, "Then shall all of the tribes of the earth mourn when they see Jesus coming." And so that was Caiaphas. Now I want to notice, I said some said he was a bad man. Now listen to what Caiaphas went on and said. "The high priest rent his clothes." Boy, he lost it. He just lost control of himself. He rent his clothes and he said, "He has spoken blasphemy." What further have we need of witness? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. "What think ye?" he said. They answered and said, "He is guilty of death." Now that's what the religious leaders thought about Jesus during the time that he was living and preaching the gospel. And they said, "He's guilty. He's worthy of death. He should be put to death. He's a bad man." But I want to tell you, the Bible said that Jesus went around doing good. He healed all that were sick and that were afflicted. And he not only healed their bodies, he healed their souls as well. He forgave their sins and set them free from the guilt and the condemnation of sin. I want to go just a little further with this. When Jesus was brought before Pilate, he examined him. And you know what Pilate said? "I find no fault in this man. He has done nothing worthy of death." In essence, Pilate said, he is a good man. Caiaphas said, he is a bad man. Pilate said, he's a good man. And he was a good man. But he was more than man. And the Lord willing, we'll get to that in just a few moments of time. But I want you to notice, they took Jesus. They demanded his crucifixion. And Pilate yielded to their demands. And he said, take ye him and crucify. And so the Roman governor, he appointed guards, you know. According to the Jews, this was a violent criminal. He was dangerous. He was a bad man. And so they had guards, and they took Jesus to Calvary, and there they crucified him. Now, the lesson that I read here, it spoke of the centurion. That is, he was a Roman guard. His post was at the crucifixion of Christ. The Bible said there were two malefactors that were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And he was standing post, and he was seeing everything that was done. That centurion, he witnessed seeing Jesus of Nazareth nailed to the cross. He witnessed them standing the cross up and him hanging on the cross. He heard everything that was said. And this centurion might have had lots of questions. He might have wondered, you know, does he deserve this? Is he really that bad that he would be crucified? He might have had a lot of questions about who Jesus is. But that day, stationed at that cross, from 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he heard the words of the Lord Jesus. As he hung there on that cross, he looked down from heaven, or down from the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And the Bible says in the book of Acts that what they did in ignorance. They did not know that he was the Christ. They did not know that he was the Son of God. The Bible said if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, ignorance is no excuse. I might say that. That's not an excuse. But they wasn't aware. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And so they carried out the orders and they crucified him. And so he heard Jesus appeal to his heavenly Father. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. A little bit later on, there was one of those thieves. He said, if you're who you say you are, come down from that cross and save yourself and save us. And the other thief said, man, what is the matter with you? Said, you and I are on these crosses because we deserve it. We're criminals. But this man has done nothing worthy of death. And he turned to Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know, he referred to him as Lord. And the Bible says that no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. He recognized who Jesus was, that Jesus could save. And he wasn't talking about saving the body. He was talking about saving the soul. Lord, remember me. And Jesus said, now this is the tender, loving heart of Jesus. Having been treated as he was, he said, Father, I want you to forgive him. And this person that was hanging on the cross beside of him said, Lord, remember me. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That centurion standing his post at the cross heard those words, saw what happened. We read a little bit further in the Word of God. And Jesus saw his mother and saw his favorite disciple, John, the beloved disciple. And he says, woman, behold thy son. And then he said to that disciple, behold thy mother. And then the Bible says that from that hour, John took Mary home with him. Jesus was concerned about his mother and her welfare. And so he asked John, take care of my mama. And John said, I'll be glad to do that for you, Lord. Then I want you to notice a little further. Jesus, he cried out and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That centurion, listen, he was listening. Why hast thou forsaken me? I can tell you why I think he did that. Jesus was bearing the sins of the whole world in his body on that cross. And the Bible said that God is of purer eyes than to look upon sin. Jesus, bearing the sins of the world, taking our place, took your sins for you, took my sins for me, and paying the sin debt in our behalf. He died alone without God so that you and I won't have to die without God. Now that's what I believe about that. That centurion, he heard the words of Jesus. In a little bit, he said, I thirst. They didn't get him a cold glass of water. They gave him some gall, vinegar mixed with gall. And he refused it. Short time later, he said, it is finished. He had finished the plan of salvation for mankind. He had surrendered his life as an atonement for sin. And he said, it's finished. I've done what I was sent to do. And shortly after that, he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost and he died. And this centurion was watching and he heard everything that he said. Jesus cried with a loud voice. I wonder what he said. I wonder if it was just a cry of anguish or a cry of pain, or perhaps it was a cry of victory. I would rather believe it was a cry of victory. He had overcome all of this. And you know, when he cried and gave up the ghost, the Bible said that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Thus signifying, Paul says in the book of Hebrews, that the way into the holiest of all had now been made manifest. We sing a song, Jesus Christ the Lord opened up the way to glory. When he died to save us from our awful fate, you know, he opened up the way. And he made it manifest up until this point. The Jews had worshipped with animal sacrifices. You know, and the gospel as we know it had not yet been completely revealed. Paul spoke of that in the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. But now, the way had been opened up and the plan of salvation had been finished. And the veil was rent and there was a great earthquake and the rocks rent. And that centurion, he became a believer. He became a believer. He said, truly, regardless of what men say, regardless of what I've heard in the past, I believe this man is truly the Son of God. And I believe that when we get to heaven, that centurion will be there because he trusted in the Lord Jesus. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to today. There may be an unbeliever in this audience here in our church building. There may be a skeptic, you know. Possible that there could be an infidel, you know. Or maybe an agnostic. I don't know what to believe about Jesus. I want to tell you today that Jesus is exactly who he said he was. He is the Christ. You know, we refer to Jesus Christ. Christ is not his last name. Christ is a designation. It means that he was the anointed one. He was the one that God had promised from before the foundation of the world that would come and live among men and be despised and rejected, led as a lamb to the slaughter, crucified on the cross of Calvary for our sins. He was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm going to ask you, do you know who Jesus is? More importantly, let me ask you, do you know Jesus? Do you know him personally? John chapter 17 and verse 3. Jesus said, this is life eternal, that ye may know God and him whom God hath sent. To have eternal life, you have to know Jesus. To know Jesus, you have to meet him. You have to have a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus. One like Peter had. You know, Jesus asked, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say that thou art Elias, and some say Jeremiah, and some say one of the other prophets. Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. If you know Jesus, you know Him by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. You know Him because you had an encounter with Him. Some people's experience perhaps is more spectacular than others. I probably shouldn't say this, but I think maybe sometimes we even embellish it. But everybody that knows Jesus and the forgiveness of sins have come face to face with Jesus. And Jesus has brought conviction through the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit to your heart. Let you know that you are a sinner, that you need to be saved. And you have experienced trusting in Jesus with all your heart. And you know what happens when you do? All that conviction leaves and you have peace with God. Oh, you might shout, you might sing, and you might cry, and you might run the aisles. You know, I don't know what, you know. But I guarantee you that every person that meets Jesus and has their sins forgiven, they receive peace with God. Amen. Peace with God. So, do you know Him? Do you know Him as Peter knew Him? Do you know Him because God revealed Him to you? I really believe that true conviction brings about a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And I really believe that when you're saved, it brings about peace with God. I'm going to close. I hope you've got something out of this message today. Jesus is real. Folks, Jesus is real. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. He is the means whereby you can have eternal life, a home in heaven when life is over. Somebody might want to come pray today. Brother Wayne, let's have a song.